Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a New Day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
Well, happy Sunday to each and every one of you, and I hope that you are going to find some great benefit and satisfaction from today's episode. I know this is going to be rewarding and enlightening to each and every one of you. So I encourage you at this time to text, email, and even call while I'm doing these housekeepings, and to let your friend know that this is the place to grab their cup of tea and just be involved and get engaged in this conversation. As always, I encourage you to call. The number to do so is 646-915-8166. And our chat room is up and running. I'm extremely excited about that. And our honored guest is already hanging out with me in the virtual green room. So in the meantime, why don't we get started by playing our theme song?
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more. Be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes they don't understand.
You know, I am sure as you have read my distinguished guest's bio, you will agree with me the reason we ought to have this conversation today, because we are leading up to the holidays, and then we always get crazy and end up feeling guilty about eating and enjoying food and all of that. So we are going to really have some constructive dialogue about our relationship with food, and we will also hear from our honored guest, who is Elizabeth Lily Hales. And before I do that, I want to remind you the chat room is open, and you can join us by calling in on the telephone, which I hope you will do. The number you will call is 646-915-8166, 646-915-8166. And because I know each and every one of you are busy shopping, I want to remind you to keep our breakfast feeding program on your list, as not really shopping for them, but donating. And you may do so by visiting www.gofundme.com /1G, (4m), and the numbers 3 and 8. For those of you who have been following me for a while, you know that I founded a nonprofit in Jamaica, West Indies, where we are committed to feeding children who have been going to school hungry. We are feeding them a hot breakfast 5 days a week. And I am so grateful to announce that we started off on September 3rd. We started off with 34 children. And with your blessing and your commitment, we have grown the program to feed in 45 children a hot breakfast 5 days a week. I show my appreciation and my gratitude to each and every one of you who have seen it fit to support that which I believe in. So I honor and I thank you, and I hope that as you go out to shop and to splurge on yourselves, on your families this holiday season, that you will see it fit to keep nutrition in the stomach of these children at the Carmel Moravian School. Well, Elizabeth Lily Hills is the creator of the Master Your Mind, Master Your Weight online training, one of the few programs in the world that focuses on the mental side of weight loss. She's also an award-winning author, inspirational motivational speaker, and the former host of Spark People Radio for sparkpeople.com, a number one health site in the United States with over 15 million members worldwide. Lily's bio is posted, and I encourage you to read it. But I wanted to just highlight the first line here about the mental side of weight loss, because there are many of us who weight has been holding hostage for many years. And it is happening because we are approaching it all from the wrong direction. So without any further delay, I want to take this opportunity of welcoming my honored guest, Elizabeth Lily Hill. And I want to thank my sister and friend, Max, out of Philadelphia, for connecting Lily and I, because although we both were at the Awesomeness Fest event in November, we weren't blessed to cross each other's path. But Max is always looking out and hooking me up with some nice people, and Lily is one of those. So without any further delay, I want to bring on live and to introduce to you my listeners, Elizabeth Lily Hills. Welcome, Lily, to the New Day Show.
Thank you so much. I am so honored to be here and so in appreciation for what you're doing, Daphne, to bring hot meals to starving children. What a beautiful and noble cause. I am just inspired and impressed. How lovely.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so very much. I want to really thank you for taking time out from your family, because it's the holiday season and people have so many other things they would have chose to be doing, yet you accepted the invitation when I extended it to you to come here and to invest your experience, your knowledge, and your story in my listeners. So for that, I show you gratitude.
Oh, well, I would like to return that to you and to Max. Any friend of Max's is a friend of mine, because she is a sacred soul and sister. And I am delighted to support all of your listeners and every human being on the planet in developing a more loving relationship with their body and themselves, because
yes,
it is the key to having a joy-filled life, and we all deserve that.
Yes, yes. Before we get into your story as it is now, Lily, would you give my listeners a little background about who you are and how the journey it took you to arrive at this place where you are today?
Absolutely. I My challenged relationship with my body and food didn't start till I was about 18 years old. Prior to that point, I ate when I was hungry. I stopped when I was satisfied. I never thought about my weight. I was happy with my body. But I had a moment in a dressing room in a limited store when I was going in to buy a swimsuit for a date that I was going on with a freshman in college. And I can remember very vividly looking in the dressing room mirror and having my first negative body thought, which was, I have cellulite on my legs. Oh, my gosh, I hope Peter doesn't see this. He may not like me. One negative body thought, which literally I can remember a feeling of depression coming over me in that moment. And I decided, well, I better go on a diet before the date so I can lose some weight, so I can get rid of the cellulite. So for the next 3 days before the date, all I did was eat canned vegetables because I didn't know how to cook, and I heard that was the fastest way to lose weight, all vegetables. And so from the minute I started the diet, it felt terrible. I can remember feeling an anxiety come over me and an obsession with food that was never there before. I didn't think about food before unless I was hungry, except for in a few cases. If something sweet was offered, I've always had a sweet tooth and still do. But these 3 days were so uncomfortable that I could not wait for the date to be over just so I could go back to eating normally. And I came back from, I had a great time on the date, but I came back and I had my first binge experience where I just was eating everything I could get my hands on, pizza and cookies, and I literally ate to the point where I felt sick. And then I felt even worse mentally because that started the voice in my head that said, I can't believe you ate all that. Now you have to go back on a diet. You're going to gain all the weight back. And so that one negative body thought and that first diet resulted in about almost a decade and a half of dysfunction around food, where I'd go on a diet, I'd lose some weight, I'd gain it back because I was never dealing with the root issues, what was making me eat when I wasn't hungry, and I kept trying to use diets to lose weight, not realizing that they're the worst thing you can do if you want to get to your natural weight, because they create an unnatural obsession with food, and they also reduce your metabolism, because when you overly restrict your body, basically what it does is it goes back to our very primal roots. And when we didn't have enough food back in the days of our ancestors, our body, in order to adapt to food shortages, would slow our metabolism down. That would help us to survive. Those whose metabolisms didn't slow down would pass away. They'd die. So our bodies basically interpret a diet as a famine. And in order to help us hold on to our body weight so we can survive, basically we're going against our body's mechanisms for survival. So our metabolism gets reduced. So the minute we go back to eating normally, what happens? We gain the weight back and then some because our metabolism is still not fully recovered.
Exactly, guys, holding on to what it got from the last time because it's expecting a famine. I want to go back a bit to that first experience when you had in the fitting room when you went to do the shopping for the date. Did you discuss this with any of your girlfriend or your parents or any confidant to say, well, here is what I'm thinking. Did you seek any support in that area?
No. No, I just listened to that. The liar in our head that everybody has, I call it the untamed mind, that makes us feel inadequate because of what we perceive as a physical flaw. You know, I look back now and I think, my gosh, there was clearly nothing to be concerned about.
Exactly.
But our mind can either be our master and take us down if we're thinking negatively about ourselves and our circumstances.
Or we can
make our mind work for us. We can tame that untamed mind that's holding us back. But I didn't think to talk to anybody else. You know, it was all new to me. And
so
I just went right into what everybody else was doing. You know, our culture is very influential as a third parent. So I just went right into denying myself food as a means to try and lose weight.
And that young man at the time, he was not even thinking or watching what you were concerned about. But
no.
That mind, that thought in your mind. That's all you could focus on at that time. And that this is happening today with a lot of our young girls, younger than you, and even some adult women are still struggling with those thoughts. You're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not slim enough. And they end up struggling with that which you had encountered those years ago.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You're going to say something?
And I feel so much compassion because I know what it's like not to be, to believe that voice in your head. Mm-hmm. Most mm-hmm. people, because our thoughts are internal, we believe that voice in our head that's saying unkind things, like having a mean inner roommate. We don't take the time, but we don't get a training in how to really examine our thoughts and see whether or not they're actually true. Because if you really take the time to understand how you're thinking mm-hmm. and you really start to dissect your thought processes, you'll start to realize that most of the thoughts in your head are repeat thoughts that you've had many times in your life that have held you back from living in higher states of happiness and joy. And if actually the thoughts have held you back from achieving your healthiest weight without dieting, but rather by learning, a big piece of losing weight is learning to kick that mean roommate out of our head, to mm-hmm. tame that voice in our head that's unkind. Because mm-hmm. when you have a kinder voice in your head, a more loving voice in your head, everything's easier. It's much easier to reach any goal. The mean mm-hmm. voice doesn't do you any good.
And how does one, because people are listening and they're saying, well, yeah, good for her. She's there now, so she can say that she don't know what I'm going through. So for those naysayers who think it's not possible to happen, how do you start to invite that encouraging voice inside your head and to evict that one that has been holding you hostage for whatever period?
Well, that's an excellent question. And what everyone will be called upon to do is essentially to start really getting familiar with how they're thinking. Mm-hmm. So one of the fastest ways to have a deeper understanding of how you think is to kind of break down the way that the human mind works. Because once you get familiar with how it works, then you have more control over it. So the first thing to recognize is that every single day we're having tens of thousands of thoughts. Now, there are different schools of thoughts on how many thoughts we're having, but mm-hmm. I've heard 60,000 in some studies. I've heard 30,000 in other studies. So I've heard 10,000 in others. So let's go with 30,000. Let's say, mm-hmm. on average, mm-hmm. between your conscious mind, which are the thoughts you're aware of, and your subconscious mind, which are the thoughts that you're not aware of, that are right beneath the surface of your awareness, you're having around 30,000 thoughts a day. And of those 30,000 thoughts, 90% of them are some variation of a thought that you had yesterday or the day before or the day before, which mm-hmm. means if you thought ill of your body today, there's a very good chance that you did that the day before and the day before and the day before. So we're living in patterns of thinking. Mm-hmm. That's how the mind works. So you've got this software package in there right now in the hard drive that's your brain that's basically saying the same thing every single day. And the more you think that same thought, I'm not pretty unless I'm thin, I'm not attractive, the more you think it, the more you're going to be drawn to the behaviors, like reaching for food you're not hungry for. So getting really familiar with how you're thinking every day is going to be a huge part of the process, starting to observe your thought processes and start to write down the thoughts. Take one day, let it be today or tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Write down the thoughts that come into your head that are negative. And write down in one column, in the negative column, you write down all the thoughts that are negative, and then there's another column, the positive column, write down all the thoughts that are positive. And then take a look at that list at the end of the day and see what thoughts came up. And what you'll start to see is that those thoughts that have been the most common in your mind are the ones, like a bad friend in your head, that have held you back from mm-hmm. feeling good every single day. So the awareness is the first part of it, and recognizing that if 50% of your thoughts are negative or worried or judgmental of yourself or judgmental of someone else in your life or resisting what's happening in your life, if 50% of them are, let's say they're negative, low vibration thoughts, half of the time you're going to feel some version of stressed or depressed.
Exactly.
So learning to train yourself to observe the thoughts that are negative and start to move towards the thoughts that make you feel more positive, more alive, more creative, more powerful, that is the key to your evolution into the highest version of yourself. That's the key to quieting that untamed mind that's making you reach for food you're not hungry for. Most of us gain weight not because we're hungry, but because we're eating in response to tension and worry and anxiety and depression and overwhelm and insecurity. Those are the reasons that we're reaching for food, because it makes us feel better for a moment.
Lily, when you started, when you became aware that you need to do a switch in your thinking, because everything that was happening had to do with your thought process, did you buddy up with anyone to help you through the process to say, let's do this together as a support team?
I'm sorry to say that I did not do enough of it. I did a little bit. I went to see a therapist for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I had a coach for about a year. But my biggest challenge, and something that I encourage all of your listeners to recognize, is that if you have any goal, if you partner with someone who cares about you, your chances of reaching that goal are exponentially increased. And it's part of the reason that I created the online program, the Master Your Mind, Master Your Weight program, because I recognize that not all of us have someone in our lives that can be there for us 24 hours a day and 7 days a week.
Exactly.
And to overcome negative thinking, you need to be training in it every day in the early stages. And without it, it's just too easy. The old way of thinking is like a slide. It's just too slippery.
Exactly. And it depends so greatly on the community you're in, because it's all good when you live by yourself, but there are some people who are still home with a family who are going to be saying, you know, negative things to them, and they always think, well, oh, this is not going to work for me because I don't have the support of my family. But you find out if you have a buddy that you can call, or you have a coach that you can call that will help you through this, you will certainly make the progress sooner than later.
Yeah, much, much sooner. If I look back on the years that I was struggling the most, when I was about 65 pounds heavier than I am now, and my head was so crowded with thoughts about, I'm not good enough, I'm never going to be able to lose the weight, I'm just going to have to live this way for the rest of my life. And literally, there's a part of me that was unable to love myself. As much as I thought that, on one hand I thought I love myself, but my behavior said something different. And a lot of the women I talk to say, well, I love myself, but if you really pay attention to your thoughts, I know very few people who have reached a point where they can genuinely love themselves with care and kindness and humility. Self-love is not, I'm better than anybody else. Self-love is a deep respect for the sacred being that you are, and a true recognition that there are things that only you can bring to the world. But if you're listening to the negative voice in your head, some people never bring their true gifts to the world because they get sidetracked and sabotaged by that negative voice, by that untamed mind.
You know, and Lily, I couldn't agree with you more when you say about, when you speak about loving yourselves, because, you know, everybody always say, I love myself, until you ask them to define what that means for them. And then all of a sudden it's they can't really stipulate how they really and truly love themselves. And that is such an important question for each of us to ask ourselves. We don't really have to wait until something tragic or drastic happens in our lives. But we get up every day, and I think that's one way of gratitude that we can do is to express how we really demonstrate self-love. Because especially women, I think there are a lot of women who struggle with honest loving themselves. And those who do sometimes tend to fall off the wagon thinking that, oh, I'm not entitled to love myself. And they come up with a lot of reasons why they are not. So I'm excited that we're having this conversation. I want to remind people to call in. The phone lines are open. You don't need to wait for your end if you have a question. The number to call is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. So, Lily, at that time when you got your awakening and you decide, no, I can no longer treat Lily that way. I have to harness all these negative voices in my head. How much, if you don't mind me asking, what was your weight at that time for your body type, and how much in excess were you over?
I was about 185 pounds at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And my relationship with my body was further challenged by when I was in college. One of my girlfriends, who was very lean, one day we had just polished off a extra large pizza between the two of us as we were studying for finals. And I looked at her and I said, "Oh my God, what have I done? Now I'm going to gain weight." And I shared with her a little bit that I was struggling with my weight. I gained, you know, probably 40, 50 pounds my freshman year in college. And she said, "Well, this is how I am able to control my weight." And she literally led me into the girls' bathroom, and the two of us each got in our own bathroom stall, and she told me step by step how to make myself sick. And it was a horrific experience, one that was so horrible, I thought, I don't know how she does this. I'm never going to do this again. But my desperation to lose weight became so extreme that I was unable to stop myself from doing it. So I became bulimic for years as well, on top of dealing with the extra weight, because I was so ashamed of the fact that I was bulimic that I was unable to tell anybody. So I suffered silently, and it was an addiction. I mean, it was a thought pattern. Remember, the thought in my head was, I better not gain weight. I'm going to be unlovable. No one's going to love me if I'm overweight, which was a terrible lie that my mind told me.
Yeah.
And it made it much harder for me to move beyond my challenges because, again, our mind tells us we can do it on our own, but after years and years and years without moving in the direction of our healthiest weight or kicking that mean, unkind voice out of our head, that's why I say to everyone, this is not something that you're going to be able to do alone in 99% of all cases. And don't bet on that 1% that 1% is you. It's not a wise bet. Reach out for help if you're struggling. Really, really honor that when you have someone loving you.
No, I was saying there's no shame, right?
Say that again?
I said there is no shame in asking for help. Reach out and ask.
Yeah, reach out. There's always going to be someone out there that's going to be able to help you. All the resources are out there to support you in loving yourself more. You just have to devote time to it. It's not something that's going to change overnight. And as you had asked earlier, Daphne, how long did it take me? Well, it took me a decade to really get rid of that voice in my head, and it will still show up sometimes.
That's
Whereas before, I would eat in order to cope with it. Now I know how to connect with myself. I know how to be gentle with myself. I know how to say kind things to myself. I know how to recognize the difference between my soul, who I truly am, versus that old software package in my head that robbed me of many years of my life and robbed me of the joy of really caring for myself.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. You know, it's amazing for people to hear that there's no quick fixes to getting the life that we want and the body we want. We just need to stay true and stay committed to it. Because it takes work. It's like everything else. Takes work and commitment and the belief in yourself and the support. Most people are in their businesses and they create mastermind groups and team, you know, power team to help them through this. And I think weight loss is no different, or being well and keeping, maintaining the body type that we want is the same commitment that we need to be doing.
It's true. And what I will say is that, you know, a lot of people listening in will think, oh, no, you know, I don't want to take the hard route. I don't want the hard work. And what I would say to you is that the mind is going to make it a bigger deal than it is. Because if you find a way of moving your body that you find joyful, like dancing or walking with a girlfriend, the exercise piece will bring you tremendous pleasure. Tremendous pleasure. Mm-hmm. So that's one piece. It's just in getting in a rhythm with it, which is why partnership helps with that. And then in terms of getting to your natural weight, what could possibly be more important than learning to kick the roommate, the mean roommate out of your head that's preventing you from connecting with your greatest self, your highest self, and with however you define the divine? Because that voice is preventing you from being joyful every day. There is nothing more valuable you could invest your time and energy in than focusing on recognizing the nature of your mind and transcending it with God's help, the divine's help. Again, however you most closely identify with the loving source that created all of us. So don't let your mind talk you out of getting started. It will try to do that. That's how manipulative it is. You have to transcend that voice and say, starting today, I'm going to do something every day to train my mind to work for me rather than against me. And if it's the Master Your Mind, Master Your Weight program, fantastic. But if it's not that, choose something else. Don't let the mind slow you down. We're coming into, winter solstice is a powerful time. Let today be the day that you changed everything simply by committing on a higher level than you ever have before and team up to make it happen. This is going to be the best year of your life, guaranteed, if you make yourself a priority. And how exciting is that, that everything can change from this day forward, everything.
Once you make up your mind that it is going to change, you have to make the commitment. And I think one of the way to get us all through this is to start slowly and pick up the pace. Because what they say, Rome was not built in a day. And a lot of times people want to see it happen right now, right now. But if you stay true, you give yourself, reward yourself for every day that you have done something to take control of that negative chatter in your mind. Reward yourself. Go do a manicure or a pedicure or something. Or sit down, take an hour quiet time or something to just journal about your progress. You know, when I say reward yourself, I don't mean that you go out and get ice cream or something like that. But reward yourself, and you're going to find out that you complete one day, then 2 days, then 3 days. Then before you know it, you're going to be a year. And you can look and say, look how far I have come.
Yeah. And that feeling is so, it's so extraordinary because you start to recognize your own power. And in terms of rewarding ourselves, I think that one of the most powerful things you can do is to say something kind to yourself when you have made that commitment to eating in concert with your physical appetites versus your emotional appetites. Because, again, when you're upset, there's a pattern that usually happens if you're carrying extra weight. And that pattern looks like, oh, you know, I've had a rough day. And the mind will say, you deserve a treat, even if you're not hungry. And that's the key. I eat every food I want to. I eat candy and pie and bread and pastas and pizzas and everything you can imagine. But I start eating when I'm hungry, and I stop when I'm satisfied. So if you think about a hunger scale on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 is starving, where you feel lightheaded. You've taken it too far. You don't want to get to the starving level. Mm-hmm. But a one is genuine hunger. That's when, you know, when your stomach grumbles or you feel a little fussy. Some people get a combination of hungry and angry. I call it hangry. Mm-hmm. I didn't set that up. Someone else did. I'm just quoting someone else. I thought it was so comical. You get hangry or you'll get dizzy or some people get a headache. Identify true hunger in your body. So one is hungry, five is satisfied, and 10 is that Thanksgiving stuff feeling where you feel like, oh, gosh, I'm going to be sick. I ate so much. Oh, when you're eating predominantly between the 1 and the 5, that's when the weight comes off. That's when I ate everything I wanted to, and I still lost weight. And that's because I learned how to eat in harmony with my body versus in harmony with my mind, which was always telling me to eat for any reason. I'm happy. I'm going to have a snack. I'll never get this food again, you know. Our mind plays so many tricks on us. And that's the key is, again, identifying those old thoughts. Everything you've thought before in your life has brought you to this moment. So if you want a different future, you have to think differently. And you have to think of those thoughts that you've thought before that have basically sabotaged you, like, I'll never get this food again. I better eat it now. That's a thought we've all had. Or I'll start the diet tomorrow, so I'll binge today. We've all had those thoughts. And they're very destructive, and they're repetitive. We've thought them before, but we keep falling prey to them because they sound like a good idea at the time, don't they? Eat something, you'll feel better. But it's such a momentary pleasure, and the price we pay is, then again, that mean voice coming up again saying, look what you did. It talks us into eating, and then it gets mad at us for eating. That's the untamed mind.
You said something very interesting a few seconds ago. You mentioned all the things you still eat. And there are so many contradicting school of thoughts out there about what we are to eat to maintain weight and all of that. What does your food plan look like now?
Now that I'm an educated eater, it's an excellent question, because I certainly don't recommend eating predominantly candies and cakes and low-nutrition foods. However, when I first started, my relationship with food was so compulsive that every time I dieted, every time I told myself I couldn't have a food, there was a rebellion that happened in my mind. And I'd eat far more than I was hungry for. So because I told myself I could never have a cookie, anytime I got a chance to have a cookie, I could go through an entire bag without thinking twice about it. So what I had to do is I had to say, you can have any food you want as long as you're physically hungry. When you're physically hungry, your body doesn't want cookie and cakes. What it wants are the healthier foods. So now my food intake is I'd say 90% healthy foods, foods that you can pull from a ground or pluck from a tree. And everybody's body's different. So some people need meat. Other people, actually most people don't need meat, but some people do need meat. So you have to really stay tuned into your own body to determine what food choices are best for you. And your body will lead you there. It will give you cravings. That's how it lets you know it wants a particular food. It will literally go, oh, my God, right now I so need some protein. So you'll want beans or you'll want fish or you'll want some type of a yogurt. And yogurt, of course, doesn't work for everybody's body. So everybody's body is a little bit different. But think of it this way. Think of anything that grows naturally in Mother Nature, as long as you don't have an allergy for it, is a food that your body craves, and it's going to give you energy, and it's going to give you, and the way that I eat, I love to eat now more than ever before, because I've found a way to season the foods that are more vegetables and fruits and legumes. I've learned to season them in a way that on a scale of 1 to 10, they're still a 10 for me. So I can't wait to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Or sometimes I'll eat, you know, just lunch and dinner if I have a huge dinner because I've gone out with friends and I've eaten beyond my 5. I've gone to a 6 or 7. All you have to do to get back in sync with your body is to wait until you're at the 1 to eat again. Because that way, at the 1, you're back in harmony with your body. What people do is they say, well, you know, I ate too much last night, but I'm going to have breakfast because it's the most important meal of the day, which it's a very important meal, there's no doubt. But if you're not physically hungry,
it's not the same breakfast.
Your body's not telling you to eat. Your mind's telling you to eat, but not your body. And your body knows best.
And your habits, your mind and your habits is what play tricks on us all the time.
It's true. So that's something your untamed mind will go, oh, my God, I ate till a 6 or a 7, and it'll go, well, you know, I've already blown my diet. I'm going to eat again. Don't listen to the mind. Just wait till you're at your 1, and then you're back in harmony with your body. And that's where the weight comes off without dieting.
What time of the day, Lily, do you have your largest meal? That's part A. Part B, how many meals per day do you have?
At this point, I am eating predominantly 3 meals a day. That works well for me. However, what I remember in the early days, before I got to the point where now I just eat in perfect harmony with my body. So, but in the days before, I'd probably eat 3 to 4 times a day. Yes, absolutely, your largest meal at lunchtime. However, if you're not hungry at lunchtime and you're hungry at dinner time, you'll be eating at dinner time. You want to eat on the earlier side whenever possible, but there are times when I didn't have enough for dinner and I'll be hungry later on at night. I'll still eat. I'll just eat something light. So I'll have, you know, a banana instead of, you know, a baked potato with butter. You know, I'll eat something lighter, but your body works optimally when you're feeding it when it's hungry and you're stopping when you're satisfied. That's the key. You never want to starve it because that, again, slows your metabolism down. And the whole key is that the hardest part of learning to eat in alliance with your body is to quiet that untamed mind. This takes years of work, but you might as well get started now, because if you don't get started now, you'll be listening to it for a lifetime. So that's why I tell everybody, it's going to take some time, but the good news is with every day you train your untamed mind, you're going to have a better day. With every day that you get good at taming that untamed mind, your future is going to become extraordinary beyond your wildest dreams. My life is so peaceful and so joyful in so many ways. I never knew this was possible before because my mind was crowded with negative thoughts about myself and my circumstances, and it was just involuntary. I didn't want to think those thoughts. They pop up out of nowhere.
Okay, I want to welcome guest 3022 to the show. You're welcome to call in 646-915-8166, or you may type your question in the box and I will read it for Lily. Okay, so if you're just joining us, you're listening to Elizabeth Lily Hills, and she's sharing her amazing story with us and helping us to gather clear understanding about our relationship with food and how we can just experience a healthier, more abundant and happy life. So call in. We have a few, we have until 8:30 on the show, so don't all be calling all at once, because then your questions will be shortly attended to. So again, the number to call, 646-915-8166, 646-915-8166. And for those of you who are living in the Danbury area, in the Comcast district, I want to remind you that our Christmas production will be airing on Christmas Eve at 8 p.m. So gather your families, call your neighbors, those who don't have a television, and for those who live outside of the Comcast district, and if you are friends with them, invite them to come over and watch our Christmas production and email me at newdaytv@gmail.com and share your thoughts with us about our Christmas production. I want to also thank the band The Groove. I want to thank Miss Vicky Simmet for her beautiful vocals. And for all my crew members who put on an amazing skit, I want to thank you all. I just can't wait to sit down and view the show myself. So that is coming up in Danbury on Christmas Eve, and then we will be announcing when it will be aired in the Newtown area and also in the Bridgeport area. So now back to my honored guest, Miss Elizabeth Lily Hill. Are you still there, Lily?
I most certainly am, and delighted to be here.
Okay. So, you spoke about that negative roommate that lives in our heads, and you know, if you give it the leeway to control it, it takes over our entire life. And you just so comfortably lay out the way that we can modify what we are doing. When you started doing that, did you encounter any obstacles other than the negativity in your head, the chatter?
Well, the negativity was by far the biggest challenge,
mm-hmm.
because everything in our life is a result of what we're thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I just didn't realize that I had choice over the thoughts in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that most of our thoughts are involuntary and automatic. And there are mm-hmm. studies out there that show that 77% of most of our thoughts are some variation of negative, which means, again, the untamed mind, it judges other people, it judges mm-hmm. ourselves, it worries about the future, it makes us feel regret about the past, and it makes us resist what it is we're doing in the moment. That combination of thoughts is what leads to depression, is what leads to overwhelm. And it's very hard to think positively when the negative thoughts come in, because what happens is once you think a negative thought, whether it's conscious or subconscious, you've got a chemical cascade that starts moving through your body. So
mm-hmm.
negative thought like I don't look good or I'm unattractive, it will release excess cortisol, and it will release adrenaline, and excess adrenaline, and it'll release testosterone. So all of a sudden, with that negative thought comes a physical state. So your body, which is your ally, is telling you when you're thinking is stinking. Right? I thought that was so cute. Someone said that. I thought that's exactly right. When your thinking is negative, your body's going to tell you. So your body's your ally. So in order to change the way that your body is operating, it's very important to use your breath to start to put the positive chemicals back into your body to take down that original thought and the related chemistry, body chemistry that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do when I feel yes, go on.
Yeah, I just want to apologize. We had a caller calling, and I was waiting to open their lines, and they hung up. So, caller, please call back in. I just wanted Lily to finish the thought she was on. So, call back in, and I'll be sure to just cut her off so you can ask your questions.
Yeah,
so,
please cut me off. I'm happy to cut off.
Call back in. I'm sorry about that. Yes. So the number to call in again is 646-915-8166. And again, I apologize to the caller. Go ahead, Lily.
So remembering that your body is your best friend in this process, it's part mm-hmm. of the reason one of the books that I wrote is called The Body Love Manual, How to Love the Body You Have as You Create the Body You Want. And any of your callers who call in today, if they send me an email message, I will give them a free PDF of the book so they can start to read it and start to develop a more loving relationship with their body. Because, again, the reason I was able to get to my natural weight is because I started to honor and respect my body, recognizing that it wasn't my body's fault that I was mm-hmm. unable to lose weight. It was my mind. My body kept telling me, you've had enough food. But my mind would get me to override my body.
I want to ask you to clarify something. You said today, and because the show stays on archive, so people go and they listen. So So when you say today, you mean today when the show is airing live, or whenever they listen to the archive episode? Because people are going to be calling me and said, "Oh, we listened and then we call in and we didn't get anything." So is it during the live airing, or it doesn't matter when they listen?
How about through the end of the year, through the end of 2014?
Okay. So today is the 21st, right?
Yes.
Today is the 21st of December. So for anyone listening on the archived episode of this show, you can claim the free giveaway through December 31st at midnight. So go out there and make it happen. Yes, we have to remember to be clear when this happened, because when you put it up, people come back and then they be yelling at me.
Of course, I totally understand.
Yes. So let's talk about maintenance, Lily. So you have been on this journey for a while, and so much so that you see the importance of committing your life and career to helping us fall in love with our bodies and to build an amazing relationship with food. What are some steps that we need to take to get us on the right track?
Well, I think that, again, it's in today's world, we're not taught to honor our bodies, and we're not really taught to honor ourselves. You know, in the schools, we're taught reading, writing, and arithmetic. And we're taught skills that will help us to find jobs and all externally driven ideas. So in terms of developing a loving relationship with ourselves and our body, as we talked about before, one of the keys is to really stay connected to our body, is to honor our body both physically, because body love is both physical and mental. Part of body love is taking care of your body. So that means, as we talked about earlier, starting to eat when you're hungry at the one and stopping when you're satisfied most of the time. You don't even have to do that perfectly for the weight. You just have to do it the majority of the time, and the weight will come off slowly but surely. At this point in my life, I maintain my weight effortlessly. So the maintenance portion of this is not an issue, because you're not changing your eating habits. You're getting into a rhythm now that can last a lifetime. Now I don't think about food unless I'm hungry, and before I couldn't go 2 minutes without thinking about food. So the key is, again, to get your mind on your team, and to recognize that when you're feeling stressed and you're feeling depressed, your mind is basically giving you some variation of, you're never going to get over this. You're not going to be able to fix this. There's no way out of this. You're stuck in this rut forever. And that is a bold-faced lie, because the truth is, every single person on the planet has the ability to transcend their mind and to reach higher levels of awareness, self-awareness, and self-love. And that's the key not only to our own happiness, but that's the key to our evolution as a species, when we start to recognize that we're all on this planet together. We're one giant family. And it's difficult to see, in part because there are so many of us, over 7 billion. But when you think about it, there aren't any other planets out there that we know of that have human life on them, or that are this beautiful or inhabitable. So clearly we're special.
That's right.
Clearly we're extraordinary. And the most evolved on the planet in terms of our ability to reason. But the challenge is, with the untamed mind, until our personal evolution catches up with our technological advances, we are still operating only at a small fraction of our potential. There's nothing more important than you can do than to train your mind, to look into how to quiet your mind, how to get your mind on your team. Everything else is just a less a less valuable use of your time. And one of the big challenges.
It's amazing. With a quiet mind enhances so many different aspects of who we are. And, you know, sometimes I do retreats, and inside we are built in quiet time. And it never seems to amaze me to see how adult professionals get bent out of shape when they are required to be still. There are so many people who are intimidated about quiet time.
It's true. Because when you're quiet, that's when you can really see what your mind's up to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's uncomfortable because the thoughts are usually some version of what we talked about earlier. Worries
mm-hmm.
about the future. I've got so much to do. I don't like it that
mm-hmm.
my sister's doing this. I don't like my body. It's
mm-hmm.
all just this, it's like a whole crowd of people in our minds saying negative things. And it's overwhelming,
yeah.
which is why most people don't want to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
And the key
mm-hmm.
is, you'll know if you love yourself if you can sit quietly in a room by yourself.
That's
and if your
right.
thoughts are loving and positive
that's
and
right.
and
that's
supportive
right.
of yourself and respectful of others, that's when you'll know that you've reached that level of self-love that brings you the peace that all of us want. So if you can't do that, if you... Yes.
Yeah. Finish your thought, what you were saying.
So if you really want to see how much you love yourself, go into a mirror and look yourself right in the face and see what comes up.
That's
look
right.
into your eyes, see what comes up. If you can't take it and you want to walk away, that means your self-love ability is still not fully developed.
Right.
It's
right.
still not
That's
fully developed.
Powerful. That is powerful. As a professional in this... in this environment that you are right now, who, and I'm not asking this as a judgmental question, but are women struggling more with this, adopting this way of life, or men, or there's a balance, or there is it's no clear percentage of who struggles more with this?
Well, the studies show that men judging themselves and their bodies, that's absolutely on the rise. However,
mm-hmm.
they've got a little ways to go to catch up with women.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you think of it, again, from if you look back to our psychology as a gender,
mm-hmm.
really our ability to survive was dependent on how attractive we were to men. Because if you didn't
mm-hmm.
get a mate...
Mm-hmm.
there was a chance that you were weren't going to live to tell the story. So we
mm-hmm.
still, because that, I mean, we were less evolved for tens of thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And so without the ability to, that idea that we have to be attractive is in our very DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have enough voices out there saying, you know, the truth is who you are, who you're
you
being
are
in
enough.
The world.
Yes.
is much more important than what you look like. However,
mm-hmm.
your body is your vehicle for your soul. So it's very important that you take good care of it. It's very important that you don't continue to force feed it if it's not hungry. And there are some women out there who are dealing with excess weight that in some ways I feel like the voice is so loud they've already given up on themselves.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
You know, they've said, well, it's my age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, but the truth is, you know, it's all about what your mind's telling you. Because if you look at it this way, if you really want to know how the mind works, this is one of my favorite examples to give. So most of us don't have a lot of leverage in our mind to make the larger changes. There's a part of us that says, yeah, it'd be great if I lost weight. But we don't have that driving passion because the other thoughts are crowding out the thoughts of I'd really like to be living at my healthiest weight, free of an obsession around food and living my life, feeling great about my body and having lots of energy. All of us would like that. But when we're faced with that food and we're stressed or overwhelmed, we default immediately to the food in the majority of cases. And the women out there whose heads are saying, I'll never lose the weight, it's going to be too hard, if I were to tell you that all you have to do is start eating when you're hungry and stop when you're satisfied, and I'm going to give you $100 million, that's all you have to do. Most people because there would be so much to gain from just listening to their body, would make the shift quickly, especially with support. It would be a no-brainer. They would completely change the way they look at food. They'd completely change their perception around whether or not they wanted to eat. So it's the leverage of the mind, right? When the mind says, oh my gosh, I want that more than I want a cookie that I'm really not hungry for, mm-hmm. then it gets easier to transcend that urge to eat food you're really not hungry for. So it is about gaining that leverage in the mind. It is about really having an understanding that you can do anything you set your mind to, anything, once you get your mind on your team.
Lily, I just realized that you had said anybody send you an email, yet you didn't give your email out, although we are going to do that before the show ends. So I just want you to jot a note down for yourself that when we give out your contact information, you give the email out as well, where people can email for that. So the phone lines are open, 646-915-8166. And we are speaking about food. What an amazing time to be having this conversation. Because in a few days, you're going to be invited over to so many people's holiday tables. And the tables are going to look so gorgeous. But remember, you have to make a commitment to yourself that you're only going to eat when you're hungry. And you're going to stop when you feel satisfied. If you did not learn anything else tonight, if you remember that, you already are on your way to a 99 paradigm shift on this thing to set yourself up for 2015.
And okay. Also, Daphne, if you, for anyone who might be leaving the show a little early, if you go to lilyhills.com, and Lily's with one L, because I like as little baggage as possible, there is a contact button there, and that's probably the best way to get in touch with me.
Okay, so you said Lily's with one L?
Lily with one L, lilyhills.com.
Lilyhills.com. Oh, that was, did you say because you like love a lot, what, less baggage?
Less baggage. Lily with one L.
That was too funny.
Gosh, you have a cute laugh, Daphne. That is one of the cutest laughs I've ever heard.
You know, that's what everybody tell me. People, I used to go to this church, and I would see somebody, and I say, oh, I haven't seen you for such a long time. And they say, oh, what, we know you are here. I say, how come I didn't see you? They say, I heard you laughing.
Oh, I love it.
I'm always, always, always laughing. Okay, so remember, guys, the phone lines are open. The chat room is open. We want to hear from you. We want to hear what you want to get an answer to. What you want to get an answer to. So you mentioned about in the beginning, you started working with a coach. And how was that for you?
I loved working with a coach. I think what happened was we started working together, and when I came out of our sessions together, I'd feel fantastic. And I'd feel like, okay, I've got this under control. I'm not going to make myself sick. I'm not going to overeat. But the old patterns of thinking were so intense that even sometimes an hour after leaving her office, I'd go back to the old pattern, which is why I developed the online training, because what I thought to myself at the time was, I want to have a coach available to me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because I can't do this on my own. Even after feeling great, I'll come home and sabotage myself by overeating.
Mm.
So the online program basically is like having me as your coach and friend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's got 11 courses, all that teach you how to not only eat in alliance with your body, but they teach you how to master your mind quiet the mind. So this isn't just about weight loss. In fact, weight loss is just a byproduct. Mm-hmm. The most powerful thing you can do is to quiet the mind, because everything good comes from that. Your relationships become better because you're able to think about what you want versus what you don't want in your relationship. You're able to find solutions to problems that you're facing. You're able to find creative outlets that you didn't know that you had to express yourself, so that you don't use food as your only form of fun. There are so many incredibly valuable gifts on this program that part of my goal, I know that if I can get it out to the masses, it's going to help to turn around the obesity epidemic, because most of us are confused because everything that's out there is diet-related. So why wouldn't we think that diets work when we've got doctors on television telling us they do? But obesity rates are escalating, so clearly diets don't work. So if diets don't work, what does? And what does is eating, as we talked about, naturally. Eating like most of us did when we were kids.
Education and relationship around food.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what works. That's exactly what works. Okay, we have 26. We have 26 minutes remaining, so I want you guys to call in, ask your questions. I don't want you to be waiting for the last minute, and this way you cannot get your question answered. So, Lily, with the holiday season coming up, and what are some guidance you would like to give to those who are dining out? Because a lot of times people think eating right, they can no longer go out and dine out, and if they are invited to someone's party, they cannot go. What are some guidelines we ought to attend with?
Well, I want to put out there that I want you to enjoy your holidays and enjoy the food. It's supposed to be pleasurable. We're supposed to be having fun with food. We're supposed to be enjoying it. So when you're going out for dinner, first of all, if you take your hand right now and you put it in the shape of a fist, that's the size of your stomach. Now, most people can't believe that that is the size of their stomach because we fit so much food into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the size of your stomach before you have it stretched out. So it takes about that much food for you to feel satisfied. And what you'll notice is that when you're really paying attention to your physical appetites, that you're going to get satisfied, you're going to hit that 5 pretty fast. So when you go to these holiday parties, and actually I have a whole set of instructions on the Mastermind, Master Your Weight site around what to do at a party, but I'll give you some of the big ones, and that is you definitely want to go to the party hungry. You want to make sure that when you're going in there, you're at your 1, not your 0, because then you're more likely to binge eat, but be at your 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then look at everything on the table.
Like you do
choose,
have a
plate. Yeah, exactly. Look at the whole delicious smorgasbord. Then choose a plate that's the size of a salad plate versus a dinner plate. And if they don't have a salad plate size, then choose the dinner plate. But put about a salad plate worth of food on it. You can put anything you want on that plate. You know, if it's you definitely know that you're going to want a piece of cake at the end of the night, then put your cake on there. But have just that amount of food and eat it as slowly as you can. That is the trick. You will know when you're at your 5 if you're eating slowly. You'll know it sooner, and it'll be much easier to stop because you'll already be feeling comfortable. You'll already feel like you've had delicious food, but you're satisfied. So eat with your non-dominant hand. Eat with your opposite hand, because that'll slow you down. And enjoy the conversation in between.
I've never heard that before. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Eat with your non-dominant hand.
Because that'll slow you down. And that's the key. That's the key to good digestion. That's the key to bumping up your metabolism. That's the key to recognizing when you're at your 5. And then remind yourself, as soon as you're hungry again, you can have food again, delicious food. And you can always, if you're at a party, the mind's going to say, oh, I'll never get this food again. Ask the hostess, say, you know, I'm already full, but can I please take a little plate? She'll be delighted that you love the food, because she's not going to be able to deal with all the leftovers. And the same is true if you go out to dinner. If you go out to dinner, what I have done in the past is I order exactly what I want, and I cut the plate in half, and I ask them to give me the other half to go. And then I sit there, and I enjoy every morsel of what I've ordered. And I eat it slowly, and I enjoy it. And, oh, my gosh, it's so, again, I love to eat. It's one of my favorite things to do. But now I don't feel guilty about it because I stop when I'm satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
So non-dominant hand, choose the food you love. You know, take it to-go bag for extra food and remind yourself, oh, good, I can have this food tomorrow. And then you don't have to cook another meal. And I know there's some gals out there who are not fond of cooking and how nice it is that if you've only eaten half your meal, next day you just warm that baby up and you are ready to go.
Yeah. Alcoholic beverages.
Okay, good question. Alcoholic beverages do slow your metabolism down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, now I am not a big drinker, but sometimes I will drink. I just know that if you are wanting to get your natural weight at the fastest rate, you're going to want to minimize it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did lose weight even with having some alcohol along the way. But alcohol is also, I am one of those people that says do as little as possible because alcohol is a depressant.
Mm-hmm.
It's a depressant and it slows your metabolism. So, you know, I think oftentimes we're doing it. I had one gal who just took one of my classes, and she said, it feels like a miracle that I have not been drinking. She goes, and I wasn't a huge drinker, but I would just do it at night. I'd just have my glass of wine and maybe sometimes two, and it wasn't, you know, over the top. But what she didn't realize is that she was slowing her metabolism down. And so now she uses alcohol as more of a treat than a regular, and she enjoys it more. And what she really enjoys is being at her natural weight. That's better than, you know, the truth is alcohol, for many people, we do it because of the feeling it gives us. But when you're feeling good about yourself, when you're being kind to yourself, you can create a lot of natural highs.
That's right.
And that is the best high of all.
Beautiful, beautiful. Once we have control over our minds, we have control over the rest of our lives. It's amazing.
The rest of our lives. This should be what we're teaching our children. We should be teaching our children and all of the adults out there.
This is
how to train the mind to work for you rather than against you. This is the nature of your mind. Everyone is dealing with the same challenge. There is no one that escapes that untamed mind, that ego mind, Eckhart Tolle calls it, or the monkey mind. And anyone who's tried to meditate, as we talked about before, what you'll recognize is that your thoughts are just running like a runaway train.
Mm.
And the value of meditation is that it trains you in quieting the untamed mind so that your tame mind can come in, and that's like having a wise inner professor in there who says, oh, well, I'm just going to wait till I'm hungry to eat because that way I'll lose weight and I get to eat food that I love.
Mm-hmm.
So that training is so vital, and I tell everybody, be training in it, not casually. This shouldn't be a casual endeavor. If you want your life to change and to be, if you want to achieve all of your dreams, training your mind should be number one by far. Nothing even compares to it because, again, it gives you access to all of your dreams, right, all of the visions you have for your life, brings out the best of who you are, and everyone around you benefits, everyone you love benefits, and it gives you access to your higher power. And that should be our greatest goal, to be our best selves, to reach our dreams and to bring the gifts to the world that no one else can bring, and to stay connected to that higher power, because that's when you feel at peace, and everybody wants to feel at peace and have more fun. And so training your mind gives you more fun, less stress.
That's right.
Wherever
you are, it's like you, once you have control over your mind, wherever you are, it's like, and you need it. You need a boost. You can plug it in. It's like you plug it in because you have it right there with you, and you have learned how to master it. You said something that a few seconds ago that we should be teaching this to our children, and rightfully so, you know, because I'm sure people are listening now, and this is something that we can begin to teach to all our families. And I don't know if you're in your practice, if you have ever had the privilege of working with complete families on your program.
What I know to be true is that the people that are listening to the online program, and it's all audio. There's actually I'm going to be adding some video this year, but it's predominantly audio because I want families sitting back, listening to the information and talking about it. Because when you talk about it, and you have it on the dashboard of your awareness rather than in the back seat, that's when you start to see the changes take place. So this program, if you buy it for yourself, your entire family can benefit because you'll be the role model. And you'll save your children incalculable stress and worry and issues related to carrying more weight than what's natural for your body. And everybody's body is different. There's no perfect weight or shape, but there is a weight that's perfect for your body.
Exactly. It's just the education in knowing what's right for you. You know what I've noticed? There has been an uprise of children in the kitchen. There are many junior chefs now that is on the rise, an 11-year-old and all of that. And if we can have them cooking this early, we just need to educate them about the eating habits. Because at a young age is the best time for them to learn all of this.
It's so true.
Before they go to college, because this way when they get to college, they would have already have the information that they need to live a healthy lifestyle, and they won't fall in the ditches that many college students fall into.
It's true. And if we taught them how to make how to see themselves as sacred from an early age, they wouldn't make some of the choices that we make. And, you know, and the challenge is in today's world, our culture is as influential as a third parent. And it's telling our young people that satisfaction lies externally. It lies in looking a certain way and having certain cars and having certain possessions. And, you know, the fact is that those things are temporarily fun. But there's nothing like having a joyful relationship with yourself, because that's when you can have a natural high all day long, or most of your days can be joyful. And so it really is, it's something that I see changing in the future as we recognize that there's nothing more important than not only educating our children on the different trades that will allow them to earn a living, but even more importantly, in my mind, is to give them an emotional education, so that they don't have to suffer as much. It really starts with the parents. Your children, if they observe you thinking in a way that's proactive and positive, will think more proactively and more positive. If they see you taking care of your body, they will start to take care of their body. We can pay lip service all day long to what we should be doing, but until you're embodying it, you'll just be like, you know, that Peanuts cartoon character that just goes, wah, 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 wah. They will not hear what you're saying. It is your example. And so sometimes that's a little leverage in the mind for some of the moms and dads out there. Do this for your children. Learn how to love yourself and quiet that mind for your children. That will be the greatest gift.
Exactly. The entire family is going to be a more happier family, more loving, more peaceful, more joyful family, you know?
True. We can live in a completely different world.
Last week I had Sean on, and I was speaking to her. I said, you know something? I am still so very impressed that you took Sophia. I don't know if you met Sophia at Awesomeness Fest. Sophia was the 12-year-old that attended with her parents.
A lovely,
and
lovely young woman.
I said, Sean, I just honor you for taking her to that event. And she said, you not believe it. She was sharing with me that little Sophia delivers magazine. They are from the UK. And little Sophia has a job to deliver magazine to homes. And she said she goes to help her because she has 300 homes that she's delivering the papers to. So she figured if she helped her, she would get through quicker. And she said, since she got back from Awesomeness Fest, little Sophie said to her, Ma, you know what we could do? We could play a game with this magazine. And she asked her what the game should be. She said, for everyone we push in the slot, let us say something that we are grateful for.
Oh my gosh, that is wisdom. That is pure wisdom,
can
right there.
You imagine? Can you imagine coming from a 12-year-old? And she said,
I can imagine.
She told her that was so brilliant. Can you imagine 300 homes and they can state 300 things that they are grateful for? Can you see the transformation that they are going to be experiencing?
It's true, because when you think about, we talked earlier about the fact that we have thousands of thoughts every day, tens of thousands.
Exactly.
Even 300 positive thoughts.
Can you imagine?
Can counteract 10,000 negative thoughts, because the love is the most powerful force in the universe, and a grateful thought is a loving thought. And the power of the universe to transform your life when you're grateful, we talked about it, we've all heard about it. I think we've all recognized, if we're not doing it constantly, how challenging it can be to think grateful thoughts. So you have to generate them. They may not come naturally at first. You have to generate those thoughts. You have to look for things to be grateful for.
We have to. Each and every day we wake up, it's so much to be grateful for. I said that when Sean told me, it made such an impact on me. And it was just a reminder, because I, for many years, I've diligently do my gratitude journal daily. And I said, what a phenomenal idea if we could each even do 50 out of that. You don't have to do the 300, but can you imagine the impact it would have? Lily, we are now at 19 minutes after 8. I want to give you an opportunity to please summarize our conversation and choose some high points that you would like to leave the listeners with, and then please remind them of how to reach out to you. And if you have anything else on your list that we did not yet cover, this is the time to do that, please.
Wonderful. Well, I want to thank you again for having me on the show, and acknowledge the fact that you're putting so many loving messages out there. And one of the things that I know to be true is that the people that you're spending the majority of your time with are impacting your ability to see yourself clearly, are impacting your ability to be kind to yourself, to reach your dreams. So be very, very careful about who you're hanging out with. If someone is not able to be kind and supportive, you have some options there. You can talk with them about it and let them know, hey, you know, you're in my inner circle, and you being kind and supportive is crucial to my reaching my dreams. So asking them first, please be my biggest cheerleader, and I'll be yours as well. So make sure you're surrounded by incredibly positive, loving people. That makes all the difference in the world, because they're going to dictate the quality of your life. So keep that in mind. Really surround yourself with people that want to make their lives as joyful as possible and want the same for you.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we talked about earlier is, you know, how the world could be a different place if we educated our children, if we all had an emotional education on how to be the happiest, healthiest versions of ourselves. And I'm of the mind that when you do something kind for yourself or someone else, there's a ripple effect that happens. And in that moment, your kindness is changing the world. We have, most of us, again, trapped in that untamed mind, thinking negative thoughts, thinking like we're never going to get out of our current circumstances, feeling hopeless. So putting your positivity out there is the most important thing you can do to change the world, because if you think about it, if all of us were just doing that every single day, being the best version of ourselves and spreading love and joy everywhere we went, the world could transform overnight. That's all that it would take, is each of us trying to be the best version of ourselves. Because even if we were 10% better version of ourselves, more loving, more kind, more confident, more giving, more patient, then 10%, we'd all look around and go, gosh, I'm only 10% better, and look how much better the world looks, because we're all doing it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm of the mind that there are no small roles to play in making the world a better place.
Recognize your power.
Yeah. And there's and again, the CEO of a company is no more or less important than the person that's being kind to their neighbors every day.
That's right.
Each of us has a specific role to play. So in terms of reaching that place where you can be the best version of yourself, spending your time and your resources on learning how to quiet the voice in your head that is your harshest critic is the most important thing you can do. This is going to be the year that everything can change, and it changes one thought at a time. So we talked earlier about the resource that's my program, the Master Your Mind, Master Your Way course. One of the things I love about it is that there are times, there are some that have such a high compulsion around food that the mind will say, eat, and there's nobody there to talk them out of it. So on the program, I have what I call binge-busting programs, where essentially it's me on there taking you through meditations and inspirational little chats that basically get you to wait till you're at your one to eat again. So they get you to relax, calm down, check in with your body, make sure you're at your one, and they essentially help you to make a centered choice around whether or not you're going to eat or not eat. So that's a tremendous resource and something I wanted desperately when I was compulsively overeating. So I put that on the program. I created the program I most wanted when I was the most desperate. So that's a great resource. Another wonderful resource is I have food logs on there, personalized food logs, because when you're writing down what you're eating, it brings more attention to the whole process of eating. So you kind of awaken. It takes you out of that almost like a daze that sometimes we eat in. We're not eating because we're hungry. We're eating just because we're on automatic pilot. And one of the most crucial things you can do to stop eating on automatic pilot is to not eat in front of the television set.
Oh, yeah, that's bad.
When I used to eat in front of the television set, I'd have an entire meal that would feel like I never even ate it because I was so focused. My attention was split on the television and my food. So I'd always go back for seconds and thirds because I never felt like I had a full meal. So those of you that have families, television should be off limits while you're eating because you're going to eat way past your five. Way past your five. So keeping that in mind, if you want to change your life dramatically starting today, is you'll put a limit on television. You'll watch it no more than an hour a day because that'll give you plenty of time to get your workout in and start to focus on what it is you want most, because television is an addiction because it's so fascinating and it's such a break from our untamed mind, but it's not a true training in quieting the untamed mind. It's just a temporary break, just like sugar and eating food we're not hungry for is a temporary break from the mind. But ultimately, unless you train it, it will always be there, knocking on your door.
All right, so listen, guys, you have heard it here, and I just want to thank you, Lily, for coming and just educating us and how we can really take control of our minds so that we can get full advantage, because once we control our minds, our entire lifestyle is going to be enhanced. So I know this is one episode that people will always be listening to, and I ask that they download it and share it with their friends, because this is a great gift that you could give to your friends and co-workers and family members during this time. And you please, again, give them your website and how to reach you.
So it's Master Your Mind, MasterYourWeight.com, or LilyHills.com has all of my different books and programs and so forth. And right now, for the new year, the program is on sale, and it's $97 a month, which is affordable for everybody. That's part of the reason I put it on sale, because I want everyone to be able to invest in it. And there's a 30-day trial period, so you could try it out for 30 days, and if you don't like it, you don't have to keep it. There's a money-back guarantee, so that makes it a no-brainer. And even if you use it for a month, you'll find that it's a gift. So at the very least, try it for the 30 days free. And if you, again, if you email me during the next, between now and January the 31st, I'll send you a free copy.
January or December?
December 31st. I'm sorry. Actually, we'll make it January 31st, just because anyone stayed through the end of this, they deserve an extra treat. So through January 31st of this year. Because once you read the book, you're going to have the manual for permanent and pleasurable weight loss. Then you're just going to need to train. Again, there's no such thing as a quick fix, but the good news is the more you train your mind, every day is happier. So it's the smartest investment you can make.
Well, thank you, Lily. I honor you for the work you're doing, and I just thank you for the time that you have spent with us. And I look forward for this relationship going and to see how we can add value.
Lovely. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for being a beautiful beacon of love and light in the world. I know that everyone who is graced enough to cross your path feels blessed, as do I.
Thank you, Lily. And have a wonderful rest of the night, everyone. And remember, we are all called for a destiny, and I want you to stay focused on yours.
Hallelujah, to my destiny. Hallelujah, I don't know what I'm here for. a strong God. You may not be able to touch Him right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah.